Back in on Canuck Central, it's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah with you. We are live in the mobile Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? We are going to get to a mailbag coming up after 5 o'clock as we continue to get ready for the Canucks and Flyers here at Rogers Arena tonight. But let's bring in our next guest. Joins us every Friday. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Mentor Ford, Porker, Quitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. It is Yannick Hansen. Thanks for this, Yannick. What's happening?
Not too much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. Getting ready for Alex Edler's big night. Gets to sign the one-day contract. How do you feel about your old teammate getting getting pampered around Rogers Arena tonight?
Yeah, well deserved. He did so much for the organization, set a lot of records and all those things. But again, he was great for the city and the organization. There's no question about that. So it's always nice to see them getting some recognition when it's all said and done.
Well, and also a guy like Alex, who kind of came out of nowhere, he really came out of nowhere when you go through his draft class. But when he kind of showed up the first time you guys saw him, I mean, nobody really expected him to be as good as he was as quickly as he was.
I think it was the unknown about him. Obviously, I got to know him a little bit earlier than the rest of them. I played with him in Manitoba, but he had that body with him that you have something special here. Will it turn into something? You never know when we get drafted. Nobody really knows. Maybe with the exception of a few, but real fast down in Manitoba, you could see that there was something brewing here, and it didn't take him. If I remember correctly, even a season before he was elevated to Vancouver full time, so he took some tremendous strides, especially early on, and then really cemented himself. And one of the things that stood out is obviously the durability, being able to do what he did for as long as he did was nothing short of amazing.
Did he evolve as his career went on? He was a smooth skater, puck mover early on, and we see him in those later years. He was expert shot blocker, sometimes playing second goalie on the ice, right? Got a little bit more physical as time went on, too. Thinking back, those bubble playoffs, he wasn't worried about putting a stick in the midsection of an opponent at any time. Did Alex Edler evolve as time went on?
I think that just speaks to his cleverness, smartness, being able to stick around for so long, because you're never going to be the same player the first day you enter and when you leave. So he realized that, okay, I'm not putting up 40, 50 points anymore playing on the first power play like he did for some years. I need to do something else if I want to stay in this league. And yeah, like you mentioned, he developed into one of those shot-blocking defensive penalty-killing defensemen instead of more on the offensive sides, which we saw early on. So again, that just speaks to the ability to adapt in order to get a longevity here. So definitely he evolved maybe a couple times. He wasn't the smooth puck moving power play quarterbacking defenseman the first couple of years either. He developed into that, and then it kind of went back to the safe, steady Eddie as we knew him towards the end of his career. And again, recognizing when it was time to switch, kudos to him.
Well, and you knew the high end, he kind of, in terms of his best performances, I'm not sure I want to use the word peak, but I remember how he played in the Stanley Cup Finals, especially that game 5. I thought he was the best player on the ice against the Bruins, and I think he broke some fingers in that game, and it wasn't quite the same the rest of the series. A lot of the guys were banged up, as you know, but in terms of when he was at his best, he could be the best player on the ice on any given night, too.
He was imposing. He had a sneaky mean streak to him that you would never expect from him. He laid thunderous hit, these cold shoulders that guys didn't expect. You could see the frame he had, but he had a calmness to him. But then again, when he laid into these physical checks, you were nothing short of a good thing it wasn't me kind of thing that got ran over there. And then he sprinkled the offensive mindset with that as well. And again, he played on some of the best pairings we've had in Vancouver over the last 15, 20 years. The years he played with it, the year he played with Erhoff especially was probably one of the better one offensively. Then he had different pairings when he played with Chris. They were one of the better defensive pairings. Mm-hmm. So he's been on both sides of that coin.
You know, Rick Tocchet marveled at his consistency. I mean, he plays over 1,000 games. When you do that, you know that there's a level of consistency in the player. Didn't have too many off nights. You know, you were a consistent guy yourself, a reliable guy. Rick Tocchet says that sort of thing a lot when he talks about some of the younger players trying to make it on this roster and trying to stick in the NHL. Can you be a reliable guy? And I think for most fans and those that haven't played at the highest level, like that, being reliable is maybe one of the most underrated things a player can provide to an NHL team.
That's the most elusive part, because that is what gives you 10, 15 years in the league instead of 1 year, 2 years. Are you able to be good when you don't feel good? Are you able to be good when things aren't going your way? Are you able to be good when you're feeling like crap, when you're sick, when you got the injuries? Are you able to play through all these and still be the player the coach don't have any question about throwing you out on the ice? If you are that player, you will have a long and great career in the league. If not, it will be a short spurt. A lot of players can play a game, 10 games in the league, because we're all good players. There's a reason we're sniffing at those heights. But the truly great, the ones that separate them, are the ones that find a way to play good for 75 games every year. The ones that find a way to be good when, things aren't going well. And that is probably the most underrated skill you can look for in players, especially the depth, the ones that aren't the highlight reel, the all-stars and all these things. I know Alex was there a number of times as well, but being able to be consistent is very, very hard.
Final one on Edler before we move on to the big team. In terms of off the ice, Edler was kind of known as a bit of a quiet guy, but had a quirky personality as well. What was kind of your favorite thing about Edler off the ice, or a story you can share?
Yeah, no, the very kind. We mentioned this with so many of those Swedish guys. Like, they're just nice people. Nice to be around, quiet, doesn't yell or scream, not a mean body or a bone in their body, if you will. Just a great friend, somebody you want to be around, somebody you want to have around you, that makes life nicer, if you will. So that's probably the thing that stood out. And like I said, I got to know him early on, got to live with him. So there were no shady parts, no hidden agendas anywhere. He was the way you saw him.
Alex Edler getting honored tonight at Rogers Arena, signing a one-day contract with the Vancouver Canucks. It is game two for the Canucks. They blow it. Really no other way to say it. With game one, having a 4-1 lead, while having a 3-0 lead and a 4-1 lead, and not being able to close it out. We talked about it over the last couple of days, Yannick, but like from our perspective, the Canucks just kind of, I think they've probably thought Calgary wasn't going to punch back after that first period. And lo and behold, of course, Calgary did. And once the snowball started rolling, they couldn't get it to stop.
No, they needed a save here and there, and they didn't get it. And that's probably why the switch in goaltenders here. Again, there's a couple of them you don't like. But again, tale of two tapes here. They come out blazing, do all the things you want to see. They're fast, they're physical, they're creating opportunities, they're scoring goals. They're utilizing the power play when Calgary kind of lose their heads a little bit after that hit. Mm-hmm. And then you take the foot off the gas. And again, everybody knows Calgary is in a rebuild. Everybody has heard, read, seen what's spoken about them. But there's 23 guys in that room that don't believe that, that believe, hey, we can win every hockey game if we go out and compete. And they showed that after they kind of Manta fought JT Miller, they kind of went away of chasing him around, and they started playing a little bit more, got back to playing their way. They got a little bit fortunate on some bounces, got a goal here and there, which obviously always breed a little bit of life into your team. And all of a sudden they feel, hey, we can stick tear it up for Vancouver here. They're thinking they're going to run away with it. And then you have your home opener, and all of a sudden we're going to take it away from them. So you give teams life, and it doesn't matter which team it is in this league. If you don't continue to play the way you're supposed to, the way you can, you will lose on most nights. And Vancouver showed, or it was showed to them here, that, yeah, we might have different aspiration this year, but if we don't show up for a full 60, it's going to be a long year.
Yeah, and I think as far as what we wanted to see from some of the key new players, whether it was Kiefer Sherwood or Daniel Sprong or Jake DeBrusque, what did you see from those guys in the first game that you liked or disliked?
Yeah, DeBrusque fit in pretty seamlessly. He was good on the power play. He was involved. Sprong obviously had the goal, which is what you want to see from him. He's not going to get 20 minutes a night, even though he finds his way playing in the top six. So he needs to be opportunistic. He needs to contribute if he wants to stay in the lineup. Sherwood is a little bit different because it takes a little bit longer to kind of see what you get there, because it's going to be momentum shifts. Is he finishing checks? Is he getting under guys' skin? And that's hard to do in one game, where when you look at the score sheet and you see guys being involved, it's a little easier to just, yeah, okay, they got their feet wet here. So good for them. There weren't anything that stood out there. Even the two big defensemen they brought in, I know Dernay is probably out tonight, but one of the things that stood out to me was when JT laid that hit, and everybody is zoning in on him, you see them coming in right away and nothing happens. Even though Calgary has some tough guys on the ice, big boys, they come in, they calm it down, and JT gets to pick his spot, if you will, which is what you want, because you don't want JT Miller fighting Lomberg or Klopka or any one of the other ones. You want him picking who he wants to, when he wants to, and they kind of facilitated that.
Yeah, and we saw that throughout the night. Even Elias Pettersson gave a little bit of a face wash to Pospisil for a hit that he didn't love on Jake DeBrusque. And it feels like Petey is really trying to make it work here with DeBrusque, maybe even passing up a shot in the high slot to look for DeBrusque when really he should have taken the shot. But it seems like something, and I thought for game one, I'm being optimistic about it, but I like the way DeBrusque is working off Pettersson so far.
Yeah, I know exactly the chance you talked about. You're screaming shoot for in the slot, and he tries to find him kind of on the back door. It's one of those things. You have a new line mate. You want to make it work. You overdo it a little bit. I would have loved to have seen him blast that one top corner too, but it didn't happen. But again, it like you mentioned, it proved that they're trying to make this work. And again, it wasn't the greatest showing for Petey. JT obviously stood out. Quinn stood out. You would have liked Petey to stand out too in the same way. But there were steps in the right direction, small steps. Granted, it's one game, but you saw some sort of sense of chemistry, which is what we've kind of hoping for here with the DeBrusque signing, because there weren't really anyone last year that, like, when you've been, okay, Petey and who? And then it was one big question mark, where right now we're hoping to, within the next handful of games here, it's Petey and DeBrusque, and then what? But that third player is a lot easier to fit in once you have a tandem. So hopefully those two can kind of gel, get a couple more games under their belts and practices when it matters and all those little things. And then you will have these tandem sets a little better.
I guess the other thing, one of my other takeaways from the other night and hearing some of the players talk about it, there was a little too much summer hockey in our game. How does it take a while to get some of those bad habits, those loose habits out of your game in October? Because we see it around the league.
Yeah, it's always hard in the beginning because the intensity ramps up and you aren't ready for it. So that's what you're referring to. You aren't ready for the physical part of it in the same sense either. You played preseason, but until you played a regular season game, it's different. It's no different than once we play game 82 and we step into the playoff. It's another notch up, and until you kind of get into it, it takes a little while to adjust. So there are some mistakes being made out there that will get taken care of as the game progresses here, but it is always a little sloppy when you start or you come back from an Olympic break or an All-Star break. There are a little bit of rust that needs to be dusted off.
Yeah, and you know, as far as you know, you mentioned Petey too, and like what he needs to bring. Like, what do you want to see from him specifically, like in a game tonight against the Flyers?
I'd love to see him on the score sheet. Nothing gives those guys confidence more than producing. And again, if he's producing, I'm assuming he's engaged. So I would love to see him score a goal, make a nice play that turns into a goal, something that will, like you say, when we watch the highlights afterwards, Petey's on there. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. And if you see that, then hopefully he can find his way out of the funk, if you will, a little bit. I don't know if you can call it funk because it's one game, but obviously from last year, there are some questions as to what player will he be and what player is he going to be. So I'm hoping that he gets some wind in his back here, some production, whether it's on the power play or whether it doesn't really matter to me. Seeing him on the score sheet would be great.
You know, I guess one of the question marks or areas of concern coming into the season was the Canucks' third pair or the bottom half of the defense and how it was going to be able to move the puck out of their own end and how they were going to look. Forbert and Desharnais had a bit of a tough night. Well, certainly on Desharnais' end, he's coming out of the lineup tonight with Noah Juulsen going back in. But it felt like, you know, once Calgary sort of could see they had trouble moving the puck out of their own end, it gave them a little bit more juice to get in hard on the forecheck and make it that much more difficult for them.
Yeah, there's no question. And you want to play it like that too. Once you kind of smell a little bit of blood, you're going to pound on it. And they, like, it was going Calgary's way too, so let's not call a spade here. Like they were getting some fortunate bounces, some goals that probably shouldn't have gone in from the point shots and these things where you'd love your goaltender to have them. And if he makes those saves, the ice doesn't tilt the same way. And coaches make changes when things aren't going well, and it wasn't going well, and somebody else steps into the lineup. So it's one game. I'm not too concerned about two defensemen being caught in their own end, can't move the puck out in game one of the regular season. If it continues to happen, then obviously we're going to have a conversation, and then changes need to be made for the long term.
You mentioned in the first period you like what you saw from the team. They played fast. They were physical. They were on top of the Flames pretty much the whole time. And I remember we had a conversation about Willie Desjardins' first year with you guys, and you guys had so much success. And then the next year, they tried to change a bunch of things with your system, and you guys had trouble. And we know that this team this year wanted to tweak its breakouts a bit and created a little bit more off the rush. In terms of that balance, like, how careful do you have to be, and what do you want to see to not lose also that defensive identity that the team has?
Yeah, there's no question you can't revert back to what you did for the past 3 years, where you were giving up a ton of opportunities in order to score a ton. They saw what made them successful last year. So hopefully you're sticking with that and you're building on that. You always want to create offense off the rush because it's easy offense. It's offense you do off good defensive plays. It's off turnovers. It's off mistakes the other teams make in the neutral zone. So you try to capitalize on that. So I'm thinking that's where they're going with this. I'm not thinking they're changing too many things in terms of how we're running. Like a breakout is, a lot of times it's dictated too as to what do the other team do, or do they sit up in a 1-4 in the neutral zone? Are they coming too heavy on the forecheck that you got to beat with quick passing? So you're kind of at the mercy a little bit too on your breakouts. Obviously, you need some set standard stuff you can do, but a lot of times the game is flowing and you're adjusting as it goes.
Final thing, Yannick, you've mentioned a couple of soft goals the other night. I think it's. You know, we all saw it with some of the point shots, and it's a carryover from a little bit of how Edmonton started to game plan against Shelovs in the postseason. But I guess that's the concern here is one of the first things on the pre-scout for every opposing team when Shelovs is in net, like, let's find a layered screen and let's try to pick a hole on this guy because he has trouble tracking the puck from the point.
Yeah, that's up to the goalie coaching staff and him to sort out. If you can't stop these, you will have a short career, and that's how it is. And if they keep scoring on him, Vancouver will find another guy like they're doing right now. you're still hoping, praying Demko will return at some point. But again, it's never great to see something that keeps happening, especially on a goaltender, because if teams, players sniff out these weaknesses, it will get exploited. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's like tipping pitches in baseball. Once they see it, it's kind of hard to put it back in the box. Yannick, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Yeah, take care. Have a good day and enjoy the game.
There is Yannick Hansen joining us here on Canucks Central. Some thoughts on Edler. Some thoughts on the Canucks in Game 1. And you know, I don't think the Canucks didn't play well as a team, but when the goalie lets in a few more – when the goalie lets in six goals, it's going to be easy to point the finger at the goalie.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, like you were saying earlier, even though some were difficult to stop, you're still allowed to make saves on difficult shots, right? And something he still has to improve on. From a former player's perspective, that's how Yannick felt kind of watching the game. The coach was very adamant on their systems having to be a lot better and helping the goalie out and being a lot tighter. Because when the Canucks are at their best, they don't give up a lot of what they gave up. And a lot of it was players being out of position. But, you know, Yannick isn't going to pull punches. You know that.
That's Yannick Hansen. He joins us every single Friday on Canucks Central. You know what else happens on Fridays? It is a mailbag, and we'll get to that coming up in just a few moments. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, it is Canucks Central.